Hello and welcome to another episode of the Collapsing Game Shelf, a podcast by a bunch of old people who have too many board games. I'm Tom and we're here with...
Justin.
Debbie.
And Adam.
And today we are going to be talking about Deception, Murder in Hong Kong. A game by Toby Ho, published by Gray Fox Games, and it's a release from 2015, you said?
Yes. Originally a Kickstarter back in 2015, and it only raised $67,000 in its initial Kickstarter.
Was this a remake of an original Deception game?
I do not believe so.
I think it might be one of those ones where there's like the Deception name is like a brand of some description, and then they slap the Murder in Hong Kong on it for that kind of reason. Yeah, yeah. It's a party style game for four to 12 people. Doesn't take particularly long. The rule book claims 5 to 30 minutes. The general overview of the game is that
5 minutes.
Who to set up?
Sorry, to set up. 15 to 30 minutes.
There's been some quick games where someone just blind guesses right off the get go.
Like Tom's favorite thing to do.
So the way the game works is there's one person who is playing the forensic scientist. They are the ones that have all of the information on who has been murdered and what the state of the body and all the evidence is. Everybody else is a police officer trying to track down the killer, and they all have a card in front of them that is telling them whether they were the murderer or not. Dun dun dun. Along with this card, you get a badge and you get two sets of different colored cards. There's like blue ones and then there's red ones that contain have a bunch of items on them, and the red cards are clues, so they're representing important clues for cracking the case. Or the blue cards are the potential murder weapons. So the idea is that whoever is the murderer has indicated to the forensic scientists earlier in the setup as to a clue card and a murder weapon that was used in order to perpetrate said murder. So just looking at the rule book that I have in front of me here, a red card might be the skull and the blue card might be the axe. Along with all these other things, you might have other types of normal sort of murder weapons like an ice pick or a bone saw. And then slightly more esoteric choices like bathtub or lampshade.
There's
some really weird stuff in there, and the clues get weird too, like panties or handcuffs.
Yeah.
Which
sexy clues.
Which is funny because it basically, like, when you're doing the setup, you kind of, everybody closes their eyes, the murderer opens their eyes, and they point out the clue and the murder weapon to the forensic scientist, and then the forensic scientist almost has to do the murder in their head to try to figure out like what their story is going to be for what's happening. Because the idea is that you're over a course of 3 turns, your forensic scientist is trying to communicate to everyone else clues as to what the murder weapon is and what the clue is, thereby like getting everybody closer to who the murderer was, based on the understanding that whatever they pointed out was what was used to do the murder, the important clues. And they do this without talking to anybody. In front of the forensic investigator, you're going to have the cause of death, which is suffocation, severe injury, loss of blood, illness, / disease, poisoning, or accident. And then you're always going to have one of 4 things indicating the location of the crime, which are, from parks to storerooms to cafeterias to bedrooms.
And you get to pick these based on what that murderer has indicated to you.
Right. So if you've got bone saw frilly panties, maybe supermarket, not the best location. So maybe you just leave that one.
Unless you were shopping for them.
Yeah, maybe. Well, maybe.
In the supermarket?
But
yeah. Where do you buy your panties?
Not from a supermarket. Like a grocery store?
Yeah, sure. Costco.
Oh, God. Frilly.
Man. You gotta get that 78 pack of frilly panties.
Yeah, it sure is. Buy in bulk, save some money. I'm
thinking Superstore here. Superstore has a whole...
Yeah.
Look, Walmart? we're not giving free press to Superstore of all places. So the forensic investigator will have these two in front of them, and then they will get an assortment of other things, like victim's occupation, general impression, time of death, victim's identity, and these orange ones will be random, which they will get to replace a few of them over the course of the game. And they're indicating to everybody else at the table what is pertinent from these planks by taking these very stylish looking bullet tokens and putting them next to what thing that they think is going to get everybody else closer to the killer. So, you know, like I said before, bone saw frilly panties, you know, cause of death, probably not suffocation, probably loss of blood, you know. So that will hopefully, and I say hopefully, get everybody else at the table to narrow in on certain aspects of what's in front of everybody. Because again, there's like, depending on how many people you play with, everyone's got like 8 cards in front of them. So it's a complete disaster.
But it's such a fun disaster.
The forensic scientist puts down all the bullets and then you go around and everybody sort of gets a chance to... make their case as to who they think it was. Like, oh, I think it was Debbie because such and such and such reasons. Scientific stuff. And, you know, there's also the guy who is the person who is actually the killer is also trying to just throw you off their scent. So they're trying to, you know, point out that, well, it couldn't have been me for this reason. It should have been this person because they also have something which is really, really, you know, causes a loss of blood and is done in a bedroom, right? So it's all this, like, going around and just nothing is clear and everything's a mess. You do this, like I said, 3 times. If nobody figures out who the killer is by the end of the 3rd turn, then the killer obviously wins, gets off scot-free. If somebody thinks that they know who the killer is, they hand in their badge and say who they think it is, and the forensic scientist will tell them whether they're correct or not. And if they're not correct, then they just go to Starbucks and don't get to participate anymore.
Well, you're going to continue talking.
That's what but you're sitting in Starbucks with all the other, people that haven't got.
You're talking to the other detectives when they're on break.
Yeah.
Because you just got kicked off the force.
And because of, the thing I like to do is just chuck across the table and yell names. That's the best.
Tom's very, he's willing to put his badge on the line.
At a moment's notice.
At like the very beginning.
The slightest provocation.
Yeah. He's really like, I got this, man. I got this.
I mean, you are basically accusing your fellow officers of being some sort of serial killer.
Well, it's a dirty cop situation, right?
Yeah.
Like there's always a dirty cop. Right? Everybody, we're all investigators. It's just it wasn't me. It
had to have been you. One happens to be Dexter.
Yeah. Yeah. Literally. Basically. Like, that literally is what it comes down to.
Yeah.
I love the concept of this game.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of struggles. So, some of the tiles that Tom was talking about, the orange ones or brown ones, whatever you call them, they can be of no help to you because they're random.
Time of death. Dawn, morning, noon, afternoon, evening, night.
Yeah, like that.
May not be helpful at all.
Yeah, like if it's, how many pieces of evidence or certain murder weapons can you honestly say, well, you wouldn't use it at any time other than at night, right? Like, that's pretty hard to say. Like, there's time of year. There's what was the weather season. Like. Like, oh my goodness. So some of them are like, you want to stick a friggin' pin in your eyeball. But I don't know. That kind of makes it fun.
It does. It does make a lot of fun. Where, especially when everyone starts picking up on this just random clue that you were stuck with, like the time of day. I'm like, I don't know, it was in the evening. And then somebody gets it in their bonnet that it's, oh, he said evening. So that means it must be this. And I'm just, and they pick out some combination of cards and they get everyone else on the table on the same page as them. And you, as the forensic scientist,
as hope just, dies in this forensic scientist's eyes,
you're just looking at them like, how is this train of logic going on?
Like, why are you grabbing hold of that one clue and running so far with it?
But even the absurdity of that is really fun, because you can just see, like, you can see that the forensic scientist is just starting to lose their mind, and at the end of the game just like slams everything down and is like, I can't fucking believe you guys. What? The goddamn time of day didn't mean anything. Why?
Yeah. I mean,
there's five other clues here. What is wrong with you people?
Yeah. Well, I think that's why this one does so well, is it's a good hidden role game where every position is fun. It's fun being the forensic scientist and scratching your head about where to put this clue marker down on this like weird thing you just picked up about what the bystander was doing, if they were
noticed sound, or whether a bystander noticed a sudden prolonged sound, smell, visual, action, nothing.
Yeah, there was no bystander.
There was no bystanders. Well, good. Empty building. Thanks. Yeah. That's really helpful.
But I mean, that also adds to the fun, where you get to kind of create a story of the murderer as the forensic scientist. Like, the murderer might just be picking two random cards, but then you have to tell a story to get everyone else to look at those cards. So it's fun for that. As the murderer, it's fun to throw off the scent and, like, accuse random people. And then as the detectives that are just trying to solve the case, it's fun to try to puzzle out this story that this weird, mute forensic investigator is trying to tell.
But it's, so two things. One is, I think that it's very accurate in the sense that, like, don't get me wrong, I like to read a lot of murder suit and I like to watch a lot of Dateline, which probably doesn't help me any, but reality is, I mean, when somebody goes and murders somebody, you don't know why they did it or what they did or what order they did it in. You just have the evidence, right? And so you have to create a story as an investigator and you have to figure that out. So it's very realistic in that sense, where it's like, you realize that the evidence that's left for you could mean a lot of things, right? Like, and there is a lot of assumption that's made in these kinds of things. And the other, kind of the other thought to that is that I find it really interesting that in the rule book for this, so most games that are in this deception-esque style, a lot of them will say, you know, like, as the ghost or the forensic or the werewolf or whatever it is, you cannot hint towards anything. Like, you have to stay completely silent. You can't make any facial expressions. You can't do anything. But in the manual for this, it actually says at one point that you can take advantage of how you decide to place the bullets on the cards. And it's like, you know, you could just try to hint towards one thing and then put it on another and, you know, hope people see that, you know, maybe it's this. And so they kind of, I love the fact that they've gone and said, okay, like, how realistic is it that you stay completely mute and nobody looks at your face and nobody does anything? Like, try to be a bit human about it and use it a little bit without, like, being very blatant and, like, shaking your head and being like, no, you don't want to go there.
Anywho.
There is another card that Tom hasn't brought up. And so, in our group, I have to honestly say that I don't know if we ever have used them, if we've just blatantly avoided them, but within the brown or orange random cards, there are some that actually have text on them, and they're called twists. So once you've played this a couple times, the twists are actually quite interesting. They add, just like random events, right?
Nuance.
And, Yeah, nuances. So there's some that'll, like, you know, everybody has to take away one clue and one murder weapon out of their set. Oh. And so what it does is it narrows down the amount of choices people have, right? Therefore making it more difficult for the murderer to get away. Like, there's a bunch of them. And they're actually quite interesting, and they're quite fun to play with. And everything also, for the record, has Chinese characters on it.
It's true.
It's English and Cantonese, Mandarin.
It's just Chinese.
Just Chinese, because they're the same language written. Yeah. So it's actually quite funny. I don't know if that was a style choice or if that's literally like, this is a game.
I'm sure it's a style choice. Okay. I don't think this is like a play at internationalization for like two okay. countries.
I don't know, style choice because it is murder in Hong Kong.
It's quite funny though. I quite appreciate that aspect of it. But yeah, so we don't typically play with those, but they are quite interesting to play with.
It's got some depth to it.
Try that out next time.
We will.
The twists.
Yeah, they're really interesting to play with.
A twist of fate. My word. This man was stabbed with a ratchet.
With a
ratchet? Yeah, that's the other thing is when you look, so the stack of red cards, which is the evidence, is much larger than the stack of blue cards, which is the
murder weapons.
So the murder, if you play this too long in one sitting with your friends, you can get repeats in your blue cards, which kind of tells you that maybe you should stop playing it at this point. But it is really funny. Like, it is hilarious.
Yeah, don't stop playing.
When you're sitting there and having a discussion, like, let's find something here. I apologize, you're going to hear some noise. Like an electric current, right? When people are trying to justify why somebody or how somebody died by an electric current, or a dumbbell for that matter. They got killed by a dumbbell.
Those things are heavy.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Except the 1 pound ones.
Yeah, well.
This is not very heavy at all.
No.
Like a pound. But
they can still be hard.
Yes.
If they're made of metal. If
someone swung that hard enough at you, you could probably do some damage. Your brain.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like not a mace plus one, but that's easily a mace.
So, yeah, you're not wrong.
I think trample is in here.
Trampled?
Yeah.
In a crowd? Sorry, I'm going to make crowd, a lot of noise in a second here.
A video game console? There's some really...
died of overwork or what?
I don't know. Well, that's the thing,
they
right?
They died of overplaying. They were playing WoW for 30 hours straight.
We should make a card that has WoW on it.
They died from WoW.
You can die from work in this game.
Speaking of being overworked.
It is very funny, okay, though. Like, to tap into that kind of storytelling aspect of your brain without
being able to actually storytell to
anybody? Without going to, like, the Dixit level...
The stupid level?
Yeah. I do not agree with that.
The abstract
stupid.
Level.
Well, no, like...
Oh, there you go.
The thing is, like, you get to make up a murder in your head without actually having to tell anybody. Yeah. You don't have to articulate it until the end.
No, but I mean, as the investigators. Like, you're trying to, like, piece it together in your head,
and
it's hilarious.
It is funny. That's just a bunch of people just yelling stuff.
Yes,
I mean, often it is.
Ah, man, yeah. It's so good. Rose is shockingly good at this game.
She's so quiet.
Yeah. Gotta watch out for the quiet ones.
That's the rule. Yeah,
In murder in board games.
Yeah,
it's very much Dateline. It's very much CSI. It's very much, you know, all these mystery novels that people like to read and all that sort of stuff. This game is great for people that are already invested in crime, in like, you know. Crime show. Well, yes, already investing in crime. Right? Hold on, let me back that up a little bit. This is great for people who are already invested in crime fiction. It's easily accessible. Mm-hmm. It's very easily accessible. I don't think it took us long to breeze through the rule book, get a quick grasp of the rules, start playing it, and everything just makes sense.
That is a svelte rule book right there.
It's all of what, 2 pages? Three pages?
Oh yeah, like it's got, and part of that is like is a script, and it's like if you're the investigator, everybody close your eyes. Yeah. Murderer, open your eyes.
Yeah,
but like this, basically it gets the information across to you easily and concisely.
But again, there's not much here. I mean, in all fairness.
In all fairness, you're right.
And in all fairness, I still managed to mess it up the first few times I played.
Oh, for sure.
God, we're bad at this, aren't
yeah.
we?
Yeah. We're bad at reading.
We really shouldn't be having a podcast.
That's it. Shut her down. Shut her down.
The first time I played it, I ended up randomizing the location cards as well as the other cards.
Wondering why. Why do I have three greens?
Well, no. I think I only picked one of the greens, but I thought you had to randomize it.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So I was had to tell this very weird story about the set of murder weapons I came up because I had to like try to like place it in a playground or something because none of the other things made sense.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's the one thing. The greens are not randomized. If you are playing this game, because I think we screwed that up.
Oh, yeah.
I think I'm willing to say almost everybody has screwed that up. The four green tablet thingy cards, as the investigator, you get to choose one of the four. They are not random. They are not trying to put you in that tight of a box.
Yeah.
If you want to make it more difficult on yourself, have at her. But you do not have to do that. You do get to choose.
I'm not your boss. You can do what you want.
Well, yeah, true.
Sure.
And there is an expansion for this.
Yes.
The expansion, so the expansion brought in metal badges. So they're these, like, they're amazing.
Really nice component upgrades.
They're metal badges. I'm going to harp on this now. I probably should harp on this later. There's one complaint I think that almost all of us will have about this. So the cards as the investigator, it's like a, I don't know, they're what, is like an inch and a half, 2 inches wide.
As
like
the forensic
dude? Yeah, the forensic dude. So the bullet, you have to kind of like put it on the side so you don't cover the words so people can actually see what you're trying to point at. And I think that that was an issue. And I think that the Gray Fox kind of heard that and knew that. So when they did the expansion, they sent out a different component to take the place of the bullets. And they're like these little plastic
microscopes.
And let me tell you, they do not help your cause. They are not any better.
Yeah, we might be too stupid to know how we're supposed to use them, but they like they're bigger. To, like,
clip them in or something.
I don't know. They don't really clip.
Yeah,
they don't really clip though.
And it just all it does is it raises the one side. So if you're sitting on that, you can't see the writing anymore. Like,
you can't see the writing.
It was a good thought. It was good in concept and just not good in execution, I guess. Yeah.
But once you want just like a little box that you can put around it.
Mm.
But once you printed out 3 million of these, like, what are we gonna do with 3 million?
You almost need to have like almost like a tablet, right? That as the investigator, you put them so that they're not flat on the table, but they're upright, so that everybody around the table can read them.
There's an app for that,
or we make an app. Yeah,
yeah. I was gonna say that. Like, app developers, get on that because that is a really
good
app.
But if you think about 12 people, even if it's a single app, though, because 12 people sitting around a table having to look at one small thing, right? Like, at least if you had like a board that you
You could
put them on. And you just like end up placing them up there and then having like a clip-on indicator or something that slid on the side.
I mean, you could almost make your own.
You could. And when I tell you that I have these little tiny complaints, like these are minimal complaints because this game is my jam.
Yeah, it's also an excellent hit and roll game because it doesn't, not like with Werewolf, you kind of can be forced into a position where you have to lie.
Yeah.
And a lot of people either aren't or aren't comfortable with doing that.
Yep.
So this one is, you don't have to lie. You can just be like, you can just make a suggestion. It's like, well, look at Adam over there. Look how shifty he's looking. And look at his items in front of him. You know, I'm not saying it's him, but that's very suspicious.
Yeah. Well, you make it, you can make this very much not about the murder and about the investigator.
Yeah.
The forensic investigator. And you can be like, well, let's look at the actual clues that he's giving us and say, well, no, like he said that it's blood loss. So, you know, why would you, why would you take the knife? Why wouldn't you take the, the chainsaw, because the chainsaw would cause way more bloodshed than a knife, right? Like, you're not lying. You're just
arguing.
Well, you're making it about the investigator at that, or the forensic guy at that point, as opposed to... Yes.
It's more shifting blame than, I swear, guys, I'm not the werewolf.
Right.
Yo, it wasn't me, it was him.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Come on.
Which you, I'm not going to lie. Are you the werewolf?
No.
I'm not going to lie. I've done that in this game as well, where people have, like, harped and they've been like, no, it has to be Debbie because she has those two things. And I'll be like, dude, it's not me. Like, I am telling you, it is not me. Get off off that train of thought, because it is not me. So, I mean, there's that aspect, but sorry, we've kind of jumped into the thoughts. I apologize.
Well, the rules are pretty short. They've merged now.
Yeah, this was a pretty fair segue.
Yeah.
All right.
It's very natural.
It was progression. Just worked.
Yeah, it means I don't have to put an edit in. It's great.
That's sweet. Boop, 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 boop. Just a couple for my snotty nose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My goose calls.
I'll get some of those and put them in.
Other thoughts?
Nothing that's going to drive our viewers out of the...
Often
listening to you hork into the microphone.
Yeah.
Please don't do that.
Oh, sorry. One thing I did forget about the fun expansion has countries in it. So they've added...
I believe those were stretch goals.
Were they stretch goals?
I believe they were stretch goals, but you can
probably still... England?
Well, you can find them... I'm sure you can buy promo packs online. You'd have to find them on something like eBay or a third-party retailer or something like that. But those were stretch goals. They put them out as country packs. So, I mean, for the Canada country pack, there's the maple syrup and the hockey stick and the curling stone and the moose and the, you know... Like that sort of
sign moose.
Like
it's in the kitchen.
There's a baguette for France. Like
there's some very pointed, you know, tongue in cheek humor
cultural references.
Which I mean, like,
Their flag is on them. Like they've made it very blatant, and they're just like, we are getting this out of Germany.
Sausage.
But they haven't. I'm trying to remember what was out of Germany, but not. I mean, nonetheless, there was these extra kind of
bratwurst
flavor. Schnitzel. They didn't just make
Lederhosen.
It.
Ooh.
I don't know if that's actually a thing, but if it's not,
it's not
Grey Fox Games at me.
Yeah. And they did add another location card, another green card. There is another green one, and it actually does fill a void for sure. There are things on there that
tell me more.
Help me out. I'm trying to remember what's on them, and I can't remember. It's fantastic, though.
The point is, however, that the expansion does add to the game as opposed to just fluffing it up. It actually adds quality to the game as opposed to just adding content for the sake of adding content.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that the expansion is an absolute must-buy.
Nope, by no means.
But it is really stinking good.
I suppose it would depend on how much you bring this to the table.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
An extra bit of content is a nice way to, you know, pad up those decks so you don't see duplicates and add some interesting combinations. Yeah.
And it does fix, right? Like it's when you're playing and you have only those four green location cards and you're like, man, none of these fit.
Yeah.
I do distinctly remember thinking that there was a hole and this one card has definitely filled that void.
Okay.
I think it's added a couple twist cards, a couple brown cards came in it. Like there's some extra stuff that came in it that just kind of definitely, if you, like you said, if you bring it to the table a little bit more, it's a worthwhile piece to have in there.
Yeah. The 4 to 12 player count is great in my opinion. I mean, four players can be a little bit of a pain. Cause I mean, every now and then, you know, there's something that you want to play. I think that the four player count is not enough. But of course you can play it with four, but I think that plays better at higher player counts because you need more people in there. The more people you have in there,
the more chaos
that comes with it. And you just, bring it to me. Give it to me. This game is good. This game is so good. Easy to play, easy to pick up, easy to teach.
So easy to teach.
And I've yet to bring this to the table, even with people that aren't traditional hobby board gamers, yeah. and have I've yet to have them leave and said, "Wow, that was a really crappy experience," or, you know, "Oh, that's not a game I'd like to play again." Mm-hmm. Like, everybody I've played this with has been like, "Man, when can we play this again? Yeah. Bring this back to the table."
Yeah, I've never heard anyone say that I didn't really like that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. We made my brother buy it.
Yeah.
We've made...
And he is not that much of a board gamer.
No, he's a like, I want to win. Like, he's a...
Yeah, he's like, not much fun, you're right.
Let's get the
competitive
sort of thing. Yes, very much so.
And I mean, this allows for, I mean, you to be competitive. You can be trying to rally everybody to your train of thought.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, but I've never seen somebody go and take The Art of Chill, the Bob Ross fucking game. Oh. I have never seen somebody take a fluff game and get so intense about it. Like, this is him, and he loves this game. Trish hates board games.
Yes, she is. Love this game. She is actually, yeah, our friend Trish is actually not, you know, like, she's all business, and board gaming is not her thing at all. She actually, you know, opposes board games to a point.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. We managed to convince her to play, and then she was like, you know what, like, that is something I would play again and again and again.
Yeah, she liked it.
It's, I really think that, you know, stuff like that really speaks for itself in that regards. That this there is very much something here.
Yeah, it's a good time.
Yeah, I mean, it follows similar types of games like One Night Ultimate Werewolf, mm-hmm. in that kind of hit and roll.
Deception
investigation.
Mysterium.
Mysterium, yeah. I was about to say Mysterium. That's the one game I've actually had my mom enjoy. She's not exactly a board gamer by any means.
Yeah.
So I think this one is definitely something that it works with any age, I guess I could say.
Yeah.
It's not too... It's a very accessible theme. And it's not some weird sci-fi thing or fantasy board game that's going to get somebody to roll their eyes. It's something that's accessible and modern.
Yeah.
And it's a great game to pull out if you have a group of people and someone suggests playing the unicorn game.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, tell them to get out of your house. And then pull out Deception and be like, those of you who are still here who did not bring up the unicorn game.
First you kick them out of your house, then you pull out this game.
Yeah.
You don't even let them play it.
No.
Get out.
No.
Beat it.
Jesus.
I think that some people, though, might... I remember the first time I saw this game, we were at a board game community like meetup. It was like once a month. You go and... This guy had this massive collection of board games, and it was like, go meet a bunch of people you don't know and play some games. And he's actually the one that pointed this out to us. And he said, you know, you like Mysterium. This is like Mysterium in words instead of pictures. And try it out. And I remember looking, and I kind of saw it from afar, and I saw all the Chinese characters on it. And I was like, I don't know about that.
Seems foreign.
I'm like, really, where are you trying to go with that? And I don't know why, but that was just a very, like, instantaneous thought to it. And then it was like, get over yourself. Like, it's a theme. Like, it's not, like, so it does, so, like, and it, that's, I, the reason I bring it up is because you're, like, of the theme thing. And I can see some people looking at it and being like, oh, well, it's Chinese. Like, it's not for, no, like, get away from the idea that it's fine. It's a theme. It's fine. There's
not
nothing.
Like it's not like it's a foreign
yeah.
game that was ported over.
Yeah.
It's just that it revolves around murders in Hong Kong,
yes,
which
exactly.
is exactly what it says, right?
Yeah.
They just picked that because of the art
style. It's different.
Or,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's different.
It's very different. And so amazing.
I think I had a similar kind of reaction to it the first time I saw it, where I was like, well, this looks kind of dull or weird. And yeah, I'm glad I got over that, because it's like you guys say, it's really accessible, it's really fun, it's fast, plays a lot of people, doesn't take much explaining. You don't have to explain why there's a orc or whatever.
Like, yeah.
What's an orc? What's a gnoll?
How do you pronounce this name? No, it's like, nah, somebody got chopped up.
with a hockey stick.
To be fair, there is a
run
card
over by a Zamboni that says that's in the Canadian pack.
There is a Necronomicon card in here, and every time Necronomicon comes up, everybody and their dog is like, "What's a Necronomicon?"
Time to go watch Evil Dead.
So, I mean, there is the odd card in there that you're just like, what
and
the
I mean, that's,
hell is that?
Based on your group, you can easily just take that out.
Yeah, you can, for sure.
You can just have a little stack of cards that is the references people
the
may not
indie
understand.
Reference, yeah. Because I don't know what I'd be like. It's some sort of book or tablet or...
Book of the Dead?
It's something. An evil book, yeah.
Yeah, it's the...
It's the Mormon thing, right?
No, it's the iPad of the Dead. That's
iPad of the Dead, yeah. All right.
That was a joke, dear.
I know.
Wow, because it came on a tablet.
Oh, I know.
Okay.
Oh. Seriously?
I get it.
He's sick. Who's starting?
Tom.
What? Me? Well, obviously, I'll be keeping all of these games, but if I could really keep some of the games and throw some of them out, I would definitely keep Deception.
This one's not going into long-term storage?
No, this one is not going into the pod of history, or what is it? Like
the time capsule.
Yeah, the
this,
time
this
capsule.
This is what board gaming was.
Oh. Not putting it into the Maple Leaf storage unit.
I can't throw these out, but I can bury them.
Yeah.
This game is good. This game is like, again, it's up there. I would easily grab this if I'm having a party, if I'm having people over, if I know that I'm going to have 4, 6. I mean, odd numbers work fine, too. I find that 6 is where it really starts to get really good.
Especially with one person having to be the forensic investigator. Playing with 4, you only have 3 people.
Yeah.
With cards. So.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Everybody has cards.
Not the forensic investigator.
The forensic investigator doesn't have any cards.
Oh, you're saying playing with 4.
Yeah, if you're only playing with 4
people. If you're playing 4
people,
three people have cards. There's only 12 of each option.
I would definitely suggest this for like 5 and up.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, 5's fine. Yeah.
I would be almost worried about playing this upwards of 12. I think that would get too chaotic.
But when you get upwards of 12, then you start throwing in extra stuff like the witness that we didn't really talk about. And
the accomplice, I think.
The accomplice. And
right.
There is a new role, too, in the expansion.
Because the witness is an assistant to the forensic scientist, and the accomplice is an assistant to the killer.
Okay.
So
you get some extra nuance with more players.
Yeah
like you kind of have a buddy at that point to kind of help divert and misdirect, and or on the investigator's side to kind of, you know, try and help steer in the right direction. You're like, no, I really think it's this. You guys really need to listen to me. But this game, they said, we like to entertain Debbie and I. We like to get together with you guys as well, of course.
Hello.
So like we
Jesus,
get into
that sounded forced.
Yeah, no, yeah, ooh.
Right.
That's what,
we also like to have fun with our friends that we're here with today.
We like to entertain, but not these guys.
That's right.
This is not entertainment.
Not this motherfucker, I'll tell you that.
if we have people over, when we have people over, party games come out often, because a lot of our friends share similar interests, and this one hits the table a lot. Mm-hmm. A lot. So for my final rating, this one gets like a 9 again. This game is great.
What is it losing a point for?
Because, I mean, it's really, like, what is the perfect game?
Tell well, then, me. 9
oh
and
God.
A half.
Here
man.
We go again.
No. I'm just saying, I don't know
like,
how you can...
This is like a, yeah, it's like, well, I can't give you 100 views. I mean, what's perfect?
No.
Yeah, I got like, that from my music teacher. I was like, well, I did all the assignments. He's like, but you're not a perfect musician. Nobody is. I'm like, fuck you.
No, if there's, like... If there's things about it, I mean, and this is a small quip, but I want more. I want more options constantly.
Mm. More cards.
Because we have played this many, many, many rounds, and we've seen
all of them.
All
I
the cards.
It, yeah.
Multiple times, you know, it's, I just want more variety. Now,
so you're just looking for some more expansions. Or at least, like,
keep fire remote. Keep fire remote, Gray Fox, and I will keep buying them.
Add Gray Fox. We'll buy more expansions.
Please release.
My thought, though, is that really how many... And I think that this is the reason why that there is a discrepancy in the number of red cards versus blue cards. How many different murder weapons can you possibly have?
Really, anything's a murder weapon if you try hard enough.
Well, that's true. I mean, there's also a limit on possible locations or clues. So.
Sure.
But I mean, just even with the base game, there are a lot.
There's a lot.
Permutations and combinations.
Tons.
Yeah.
You just gotta get really weird with it, man.
Sometimes you have to.
Sometimes you gotta get weird with it.
Yeah. And it's really my favorite, and this is entire digression, but my favorite is when you're like the murderer, and you're like, yeah, I'm going to give you like the weirdest combination ever. And you point them out and then you look around at everybody else's cards and you're like, I am the only one that has an insect and I just picked it. And I'm the only one that has panties. Everybody else is like very like baseline. And it just makes it super easy for you to get found out because you're just trying to make it so awkward for the forensic dude to tell your story that you forget that you're like, shit, I gotta play this smart.
Yeah.
So it's funny.
It's fun just to go weird sometimes, even if you know you're gonna get caught out.
Be Rose and pick the panties, because let me tell you, she was the color of this.
Yeah, she went so red with that one.
Oh, that was so funny. I swear I didn't pick the panties. So okay, sorry. Digression. At least it was about the game. At least I digressed about the game.
What? Were you going to digress into your review? Or
I can.
Wow.
That hurt a little bit. Okay.
I mean, it would have been fine if you'd just thrown a number at the end of that little tirade, and then you're done.
Sometimes five. You just got to lean into it.
I'm leaning into it. This is a 5 out of 5. I'd give it like 8 out of 5 if I could.
5 out of 5 bullets?
Yeah. Buy it, play it, love it.
Live it.
Love it. Don't live it. Please, Jesus, do not become a murderer. Do not get any ideas from
this. You could become a detective.
Or a forensic scientist, which is a noble profession.
It is.
Yeah.
But do not look at like your stack of plausible murder weapons and plausible be like,
deniability.
How can I do this?
I think I could get away with that. Look at all these guys. They were pretty confused.
I never did think about a dumbbell. Weird. You're right. Those things are heavy.
Yeah. No, I will scream at the top of my lungs. I absolutely love this game.
Right on.
Justin.
Oh, well.
Right on. Oh, yeah.
It's like we got Matthew McConaughey here.
All right. No, I would give this a solid 2 thumbs up. Straight up. It's a very easily recommended game. It's got a great words.
Great words.
It's got the best words.
It does have a lot of words. I'll give it that.
Let me work on this.
Good amount of replayability.
It's got a great setting. It's easily accessible. Everyone has seen or read a crime.
I've done some murders, so I definitely get it.
Dexter. I mean, that is also a possibility. Watch out for those guys.
Well, there's always every...
Watch out for anybody who gets it too into it.
Humanity has a sick fascination with...
Crime. Oh, yeah. And, I mean, that's why it can have a certain amount of silliness based on your group, but you can also play it very kind of serious and deducting. And I like it because, unlike some hidden role games, everybody has something they can do at all times. And everyone can have fun with it without having to lie or try to like throw someone else under the bus, which some people aren't comfortable with. So it's fun. It's great. Highly recommend to anyone who entertains groups of 5 or more.
I think this is probably... This and Burgle Brothers are the 2 games that we've done thus far that everybody is like...
On the same page?
Oh, yeah. Like, everybody's on the high point with this one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus... plugs.
Tom?
Yeah, so if you need to get a hold of me, I'm at Team Rage Tom on Twitter. I have no other presence anywhere else, so that's pretty well it. Or you can bug Adam, who will explain his whole deal in a bit. Justin?
Well, I also have zero presence on the social media, which may change in the future. But currently, if you want to get a hold of me, please harass Adam. Debbie?
Well, let me tell you. On Twitter, I'm at Mrs. Wynn. That's MRSWHYN. And otherwise...
You put a lot of sauce on the Y there.
Why?
Why?
Otherwise, you can get a hold of my dear husband, who is named...
Hey, it's me. I'm Adam. Twitter, Instagram, at For The Win, FORTHEWHYN. You can also find me on Twitch, streaming like a mad fiend. Twitch.tv/ForTheWin, and my website, ForTheWin.com.
Yeah, if you like this, episode, please go to iTunes or whatever your provider happens to be and like, subscribe, and rate 5 stars and give us a nice review. Or don't give us a nice review and give us some feedback. But you know, the 5-star review is really going to help us out a lot.
Share it with a friend.
Yeah,
please share it with a friend. Share it. There's no other way that this is going to get anywhere except if you tell people about it. Podcast discoverability, I hear, is terrible. So
there's a lot of podcasts out there, and anything you can do, if you enjoy this at all, will really help us out and encourage us to keep making it.
Up to and including sending all of your feedback to Mrs. Wynn on Twitter.
I will look at them, I promise. When they start coming, I'll start reading them, and we will make changes. Well, we won't make a lot of changes.
We're not going to guarantee we're making any damn changes.
We'll try to better ourselves.
That's right.
We will better ourselves.
I'm going to make a loud noise here in a second. To just derail
and
everything.
Hopefully that includes Justin not being sick and blowing like a Canadian goose.
Does anyone want to hear what a goose sounds like? Sounds like that.
Oh, well, hey. What, they're migrating back? Oh, it must be springtime up here. Oh, spring has sprung.
Oh, the moose is here.
Carefully, I might try and kill you with it.
Deal me in.
Hey, what are we playing next week?
Well, let me go to the old randomizer. Timelines, which is a fun little card game. Comes in a bunch of little tins. I think you're gonna like it.
Yeah. Different themes on it. Like there's an Americana one. There's a science and nature one.
Animals.
Yeah, it's all sorts of cool stuff.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll get a few of them together.
Yeah,
I've only played it a couple times, so I'm looking forward to playing it again.
Yeah.
All right.
Sounds good. So,
perfect.
Stay safe. Check back in next week for Timelines. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.